never did the Lord's work.
We'll call a meeting to order. This is State Government Finance Committee meeting for Thursday, May 5th, 2011. We are still a couple short of a quorum, but we will proceed because we have a full agenda, a number of bills that are on our docket here today. And the first bill is House File 1485, Representative Kriesel. And we're not able to move the bill until we get a quorum, but we can start having you present your bill, Representative, and so you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 1485 is a bill that would modernize our current pull tab structure into allowing charitable gambling organizations to have electronic link bingo in more than two instances per day. And also what it would do is allow electronic pull tabs, as well as keeping current paper pull tabs. So it just modernizes the current gambling, charitable gambling structure, and brings it into the 21st century while helping organizations that help our communities, our VFWs, our American Legions, and gets them back up to where they were years ago. If there's I have Mr. Wilson here from the Allied Charities of Minnesota to talk for a moment. He brought a couple of the pull tab machines. And if there's any questions, he can address those. We also have Tom Barrett from the Minnesota Gaming Control Board to answer any regulatory questions or anything of that matter.
Okay, Representative Kriesel, Mr. Wilson, please identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is King Wilson. I'm the executive director of Allied Charities of Minnesota. That is the trade association that represents charitable gambling folks in the great state of Minnesota. You know, there currently are about 1,300 organizations that conduct lawful charitable gambling throughout Minnesota. We're actually down at one, our high point was about 1,800. And, you know, we have this bill, House File 1485, in front of you because charitable gambling is at a crossroads. If you would, in your packets, I believe there was a fact sheet last year. We were just below $1 billion. If you look on the back page, you will see that that is the lowest mark since 1988. Like we've seen about a $400 million drop in the last half dozen years, and we need to do things to stem the tide and allow us to do the many good things that we'd like to do in the communities. This bill primarily does two things. It brings about us reducing our charitable gambling taxes, which we have a very complicated, convoluted formula in place. By reducing our taxes, which I think would, you would find is the number one thing charities would like to do, that will allow us to have more money to give for the various programs and projects. Well, tax reduction would be the number one goal. We also are recognizing that we need to do something on the revenue end, because if we're not in business to pay taxes, it really does not matter what the tax levels are. And the second thing that this bill does is exactly what Representative Kriesel says. It modernizes our current games within our current structure to allow our charitable gambling groups to survive and thrive in the years ahead. What we're doing in this bill, I'd like to say just up front, this is not slots and bars. This is not video lottery. What this is taking two games that we currently have, bingo and pull tabs, and modernizing them and allowing us to take advantage of today's technology. But it's, you know, I've had a chance to show many of you the devices we're looking at are very similar to what I have at the head table here, bingo and I think the pull tab end. On the back page of this sheet is a number of devices. There are different companies that make different things, but we do not want devices, I mean, number one, that are slot machines. We do not want devices that look like slot machines. As we've talked to various companies, some of them have things that do look like that, though they are electronic pull tabs. They've got the message. We need something that is similar to a computer screen and or the portable models like are in front of you today. We think that's what the players are going to like, and we think that's going to be really beneficial. You know, on the pull tab end, it's very interesting. If we were to look at pull tabs from 1985, they look like this. If we look at pull tabs today, they look like this. We've really not changed things a lot. And, you know, in that time, I started lobbying here in 1989, and at that time I carried that old Motorola cell phone. You remember, it looked like a brick. And, you know, we've come a long way, and we just want to take advantage of some of the technologies that exist today so that we can make our organizations get back to where we were, to most importantly have additional dollars for the bottom line. And when you get in and look at the numbers, last year we donated roughly $40 million to the various programs and projects that these 1,300 nonprofit tax-exempt organizations contribute to. And the bill that's in front of you will allow us to increase that significantly through the tax reduction and the new revenue, so that we'd probably have about $120 million additional for those programs and projects. What's unique about charitable gambling in Minnesota is that it's in virtually every community throughout this great state. And within those communities, there are usually multiple charities. And you maybe have a Legion or a VF, maybe both, an Eagles or an Elks, a Lions Club, an Athletic Booster Club. And because they all give differently in a community, we really surround a community. And so having additional dollars for the various programs and projects that these nonprofits support is something that would really be beneficial. I can tell you this, right now, that last year we were at $40 million. We probably are at an all-time high for requests. So at a time when we have the least amount to give than we've had in a long, long time, we have more requests than we've ever had. And organizations would like to be able to continue to do more for the bottom line for those various contributions in their communities. We also think that this is something that, again, there are some sites previously that had charitable gambling that for the first time over the last couple years, 10 years ago, if a site opened up, another charity would step into its place. And because of our declining revenues, because of our tax situation, like other businesses, folks have had to belt tighten, and they have to say, you know, this site was making us some money, but not enough, and we just can't afford to be there anymore. So we actually have some sites that used to have charitable gambling that just haven't been viable because generally another organization would step in, and because of the tax structure, they just can't make any money. So this is going to be a bill that would help us on our taxes, would most importantly help the bottom line, and I think would really help on the job front. At one point, we had roughly 18,000 jobs, folks that worked for charitable gambling organizations. That has dropped to, I think the fiscal note reflects about 10,000 jobs. And the way we've got this set up, and we can get into that a little later if you'd like, is, you know, you're going to have to go up to a person. There's going to be a point of sale terminal. The machines, devices are designed. They're not going to take money in. They're not going to do money out. So we're going to have somebody there to handle the transaction. With that, if you have any questions or other things to the bill, be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Since we now have a quorum, I will officially call the meeting to order, and I will move House File 1485. And members, if this bill were to be passed out of here, it needs to go to taxes. So just so everybody is aware of the progress that there would be if it does go through our committee. Representative Kriesel, any further introductory comments, or you've got some amendments as well that you wish to have put on the bill to get it in the shape that you prefer?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the A1 amendment was something discussed with the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association and their concerns that these could eventually be converted into slot machines. That's not the intention of this bill. This bill is to help charities. And so to make sure that that never happens, what this amendment would do is insert the language that an electronic game device allowed under this chapter may not be a slot machine. So this will take care of that issue.
Okay, well, I'll move the A1 amendment. Questions on the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape preferred by the author? All in favor of the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The A1 amendment is adopted. And we have a another amendment. This is the A2 amendment. Has this been distributed? Okay, we need to have that. Need to have that distributed so all members have that. Representative Kriesel, have you seen this A2 amendment? And if so,
I have not. Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Well, we need to get that out then to everybody so that you would have an opportunity to review that.
Okay. Okay, this is the. All right, I have Mr. Barrett from the State Gambling Control Board here. He can describe what this one does.
Mr. Barrett, welcome. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Tom Barrett. I'm the director of the Gambling Control Board. And this simple amendment puts into play what is covered under the fiscal note. Obviously, with this. The intent of this bill and the opportunity for electronic format to come to charitable gaming, there's going to be some added regulatory oversight expenses. And so what we add in the fiscal note and what's covered under this amendment is a simple addition to our operating. If you look at the potential gross receipts related to the operating expenses, it relates to 0.03%. It's a very small impact on the operation, but it's nonetheless it's some staffing that we would need to provide the proper oversight. I mean, these are bringing in some technical opportunities that we don't have currently on staff, but that's what this provision covers.
So what you're saying basically is this would allow you to provide the regulatory oversight that would be necessary if this bill were to be signed into law.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Representative Kriesel, what is your wish with regard to this amendment?
Mr. Barrett has spoken to me about this, Mr. Chair, and I'm cool with it. I'm cool. Sorry, Mr. Chair. I support this amendment.
Either way, it works. I will move the A2 amendment. Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe to the testifier or Representative Kriesel, I'm just wondering about the amendment and whether or not it is simply putting language in the bill that clarifies and makes the bill consistent with the current fiscal note, or whether this is an additional appropriation beyond the appropriations and FTE increases that are currently on the fiscal note. Is this additive, or is it included in?
Mr. Barrett?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Downing. This is complementary of what's in the fiscal note. What might be lacking is the clear FTE count of 9. But otherwise, if you look in the fiscal note related to the Lawful Gambling Control Board, it matches what was submitted in the fiscal note. It's not an addition.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Roberts, you wish to comment on that, if that is your understanding?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, that's correct. The bill, as it came to the committee, did not have an appropriation section to allow for additional funding to the Gambling Control Board, and that's what this amendment does to cover the estimated costs in the fiscal note.
Any further question about the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. The amendment is adopted. Representative Banyan, you have an amendment that you wish to make?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, there should be an amendment in front of you numbered A11-0423. It's a separate single page. I'm looking over and make sure that everybody has a copy before I proceed on this.
I don't have mine.
I'm looking over at Joe to see if these are, Mr. Marble, see if these are.
Okay, everyone have a copy of this now? Representative Banyan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, we have within this bill currently an expectation that there would be revenue generated, some revenue generated from this bill, as you can see within the note. This directs some of that money to deal with the difficulties created by gambling in terms of perhaps abetting pathological gamblers, and so from the deposit revenues deposited from this, this introduces one half of 1% of that money to be transferred over to the Department of Human Services for their gambling treatment program, and also 1/2 of 1% of the revenue deposited to a state affiliate of the National Council on Problem Gambling members. You'll recall that Chair Lanning last month had a bill. I think there are other people here as well who did this for the North Star Gambling Alliance. This is a group that has been assisting people with problem gambling issues. We heard at that time, I think you'll recall, members, that there are not a lot of monies going into this fund to deal with problem gambling. And we really wanted to be able to make I thought it would be appropriate. This was brought to me last night, which is why it wasn't posted, and I give you my apologies for not having this to you sooner. But this is something brought to me as an idea by which we might be able to deal with that issue for this part of gambling. I believe someone's spoken to Representative Kriesel and Mr. Chairman. I offer this amendment. I'd ask you to get advice from Mr. Kriesel, Representative Kriesel, whether he would support it as well.
Representative Kriesel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, I do support this amendment as well.
Okay. Representative Banyan then has moved the 0423 amendment. Any further question? Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and probably for Representative Banyan, but maybe Representative Kriesel as well. So I noticed that there's not a local impact note here, and yet this amendment, a local fiscal impact note, this amendment seems to imply, perhaps, and this is my question, that there would be an increase in problem gambling as a result of this bill, or are you simply diverting some of the revenues from this bill to the existing problem gambling situation? Is this to deal with the additive problem gambling associated with this bill, or just to deal with problem gambling in general?
Representative Banyan.
Mr. Chairman, I'll answer it first, and I think Representative Kriesel wanted to contribute as well, but in my view, we currently have uncompensated costs from gambling already, and this is a way to try to remedy those that already exist, and I'm not looking here to say whether or not there's an increase in gambling or not. We could have that discussion when we discuss the full bill. But in this case, my intention was to take what seems to be an uncompensated cost that I think you and I agree exists, and try to provide some remedy for it.
Representative Kriesel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan said exactly what I was going to say.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, you said, I can't exactly remember what your exact words were, but you said that there might be an increase of the need for treatment. And is there any need then for transparency from where this money would be spent on this type of gambling?
Representative Banyan.
Can we link your revenue that you're raising for transparency on the problem with this type of gambling and make it more, this revenue that you're raising, more accountable to this type of gambling?
Representative Banyan.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, I'm not sure how to do that. I think it would be difficult. I think there are a couple people in the room who may have experience in counseling here that could tell you when you have an addiction, you have an addiction. And it may not matter where the source of the gambling comes from, but you still have it nonetheless. So whether or not it's tied to a particular form of gambling, I think it's just there. And I'm not sure how to allocate the share of your gambling attributed to this source of where you could go to gamble versus some other source.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Creasel, then with that response, I wonder if this is really fair to the people that this bill is for.
Representative Creasel.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the way that this is designed, and by bringing electronic pull tabs into play, we're able to monitor the State Gaming Control Board is able to monitor where this money is going to the charities, to Health and Human Services for these type of issues in real time. So this is actually going to help with regulation and with showing the citizens of Minnesota where it actually goes and where it's spent.
I understand that. And Mr. Chair.
You still have the floor.
Representative Creasel, I understand that part, but we're raising some revenue from this, aren't we? For this new purpose, for this additional purpose. And so are we going to be able to track that the charities aren't subsidizing the problem gambling from all the other gambling competitions in the state? That's my question.
Representative Creasel.
Mr.
The little kids are giving up some money, or the seniors at the VFW are giving up money for the just address the total problem, but is it in a percentage or a fair enough distribution?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe that, like Representative Banyan said, that there has always been this problem and it has gone unaddressed, and this is a chance to address it. Right or wrong, it hasn't really been something we've tackled in the past. There is some money from the state lottery that does tackle it, but by doing this, because the belief is that there's more revenue coming in, I think it's only right that we do put a percentage of that to help problem gamblers.
Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Murphy's brought up a very good point. Why do we break out charitable gambling? We have an entire different organization that oversees that. Charitable gambling is very different from other forms of gambling, and I think the motivation that one has when they frequent organizations that provide that gambling, I mean, people go there, and when they do spend dollars, they realize those dollars go to support certain causes. So I think, you know, it's a very different kind of gambling activity. When you go in and you do charitable gambling versus going to a casino or scratch offs or things like that. I do have a concern that the dollars that we are spending now, at this time, to go ahead and have corrective action or whatever we call that, helping people that have problems with it. I'm just wondering if we already have enough dollars that are in play to help out gamblers, and I think we do need to recognize that this is a whole different market. And I think that maybe this might be unfair. I'm not sure how to put this into a question, but is there a way, Is there a way that we can set this aside and do a little bit more studying? Because I think we're talking about an entire separate market here. I think we're a little bit too premature, especially if this has just come in. I don't know who has who's backing this and really why we need to do this.
Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the amendment. I have spent
To the amendment.
29 years dealing with addictions, and what I can tell you, and I appreciate what Representative Murphy's trying to get at, but addiction has to do with the compulsion of gambling in this situation, and it's about access. And addicts don't, from my experience, Representative Leidecker, decide, well, I'll only do pull tabs. It's about access. And yes, they might have a preferred, like an alcoholic might have a preferred drink, but if he or she can't get it, it will settle for something else to drink, or an opiate addict will settle for a Lortab. You know, they have their preferences of addiction, but it's the addiction that drives it. So I don't know how you could determine this is a pull tab addict versus a slot machine addict. There's preferences, but in the treatment of addiction, we treat the addiction and the compulsion. And I can tell you from my experience, treatment of gambling addicts is severely underfunded. And I think this is a good step forward. And I think if you talk to anybody in recovery, they'll also talk about recovery as recovery. And so I'm going to support this amendment the way it's written.
Representative Hayden.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the amendment, I have some other questions on the bill itself, but I think that this is an interesting conversation about gambling addiction and addiction in general, and to Representative Murphy and Representative Leidecker's point of does the folks that were going into the local charitable organization to you know, have an adult beverage or not, and play a couple of pool tabs, knowing that this that the dollars of this eventually will end up in, you know, a youth baseball team or some charitable cause, I think is valid. The question is for me is that does this, I don't want to get on the bill, I want to stay to the amendment, but is this issue that we're actually turning the charitable gambling into just gambling? And so then to Representative Gauthier's point is, it's just gambling then. Then people just go and they're not really thinking about it in the context of, I'm just doing this as I'm playing a raffle to help out the kids or to help out some charity, that I'm actually going there to win money. And therefore we start to get into some of the addictive personalities that we have. So I guess I'm not quite sure where I'm at with this particular amendment, because I think on one sense I really agree with it. I think that we need to think about putting a certain amount of revenue on all forms of gambling to compulsive gambling addictions, and not, to Representative Leidecker's point, just kind of pull these charitable gambling organizations out. However, if we expand charitable gambling to the point that it is so accessible that there's no line between the two, right? So that's the quandary and the dilemma that I'm trying to work through with this. And I want to stay on the amendment because we got to talk about the bill, because I think that's the problem that I potentially may have with the bill is how much of this money gets to the actual charities. Are we now just blurring the lines between charitable gambling and gambling as a whole? And then that's a much bigger discussion that I think we're trying to make in this particular legislative session as a whole. So with that being said, I think I still need to think deeply about, should we do this? I mean, my instincts say we should, but then I'm really thinking about Representative Leidecker and Murphy's idea of, is this unfair to those charitable gambling organizations? So, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Representative Bannion, did you wish to respond to any of that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be happy to just make a couple quick observations. I saw a couple other hands go up. I want them to have time to talk as well. I think you make a good point. Representative Leidecker, you make a good point. All forms of gambling have the same issue, and it would be good if we could deal with them all. and treat them all the same. My hope is, in fact, that with this amendment, we start down that road. Right now, I've got a single bill, and we've got a single bill in front of us that deals with just one form of gambling. And it wouldn't be right for me to try to put an amendment in here that deals with all of them at the same time. I can only deal with one. And so here we are, and here's what we can do for now. One of the things that I believe, and one of the things that I've taught in my classroom for 20 some years, I haven't had the experience of dealing with addiction, but I've had experience of thinking about it in terms of what one might do to deal with a social cost, is simply you identify what those social costs are, and then you find a way to take the source of those costs and ask them to pay for forgive the economics term, the externality that they've created. That's a pretty standard form of economic analysis, and I'm trying to apply it here as best I can within the confines of the bill we're looking at. I would really rather not withdraw it, Representative Leidiger. I'd really like us to think about whether or not this, and maybe this is a step toward us really going. I think it's a second step, because I think Chair Lanning's bill, when we did some funding for the North Star Gambling Alliance, was a good first step. Maybe this is the second step, and maybe from there we can actually go further down this journey.
Representative Banyan, our fiscal analyst, has inform me that there is a fiscal issue here that needs to be on the table relative to this amendment. So,
no.
Ms. Roberts, would you please inform the committee as to what you've identified?
Mr. Chair and members, this doing a quick calculation, what this amendment does is it appropriates money out of the general fund. It's identifying 0.5% of the revenue from gambling taxes and appropriating that. Those taxes are deposited in the general fund. And just doing a quick calculation using the fiscal year 2010 total gambling taxes of $36 million, each of the 0.5% would be approximately $180,000 cost. So the total cost would be $360,000 per year. That was based again on fiscal year 2010 numbers.
So, Representative Banyan, that may give us pause here, I think, to move forward on this amendment until we are able to deal with that. You wish to respond to that?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not clear. Are we saying that's? I guess you're telling me that's more money than you had thought was in this bill. I'm not sure in this amendment. I'm not sure what the expectation is. I mean, we could move a specific dollar amount if you preferred. If that would make this more palatable, we could certainly make that change. I'm willing to talk about it. I'm not wedded to the particular number you have here.
Ms. Roberts, is this how might this relate to our omnibus bill, where we have a similar situation? We have booked those numbers in the omnibus bill, correct? For the other provision that we had, but not for this one.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. So this amount would have to be dealt with in sort of the other bills line that Ways and Means has set aside.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Thank you. We would, the expectation was that this note, the fiscal note here, indicates that we have no total savings here. And I'm going to look at Ms. Roberts to help explain this. My understanding was we had savings in this bill to the state of about $3.9 million starting in fiscal year 13. My goal was to divert part of that to this cause. If I've not done this right technically in terms of the writing of the note of the amendment, then I certainly want to change it. But that is what I intended. So my question is whether or not I've actually done that, or if we've written this wrong.
Well, obviously, Representative Banyan, the fiscal note we have before us does not factor in the amendment that you have brought here. And so, Ms. Roberts, you want to respond to that?
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Banyan is correct that the fiscal note is showing, beginning in fiscal year 13, a net gain from the anticipated increase in general fund revenues. And there is actually a revenue estimate available. I don't think the committee has it, but this would be dealt with in the tax committee that shows beginning in 2013. If the assumption of the Gambling Control Board that the new forms of gambling authorized in the bill do increase charitable gambling, there'd be an expectation of $2.3 million in additional general fund revenue. The note also says that if activity stayed at current levels, the changes in the bill would result in a loss of $20 million. So the note is accepting the assumption that this bill would result in increased activity. So if you did adopt this amendment, that's true. There would be the general fund... The general fund impact would still be an increase of $1,940,000. That's an approximation.
Ms. Roberts, what the fiscal note would have to be updated with this amendment, correct?
Mr. Chair.
And since we're not going to be able to do that here and now, it's going to have to be done subsequent if this bill moves forward. I guess I'm wondering if it wouldn't be better for us to hold off on this particular amendment and get that issue resolved, so that we make sure that if we're going to move a bill forward, that we have the fiscal our numbers filled in, our blanks filled in.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Let me then ask for this. If you would like to withdraw it now, and I understand this is going to taxes next.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'll look over at Representative Kriesel and ask, would you be willing to put this amendment on as an author's amendment at taxes?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Representative Bannon,
In light of that, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the amendment on the assurance of from Representative Kriesel.
Okay, the A110423 amendment has been withdrawn. I don't believe there are any other amendments that I've been informed. We do have some more folks here, but we want to get to the testimony. So I have on the list Representative Downey, Representative Kahn, and then we're going to move to the testimony.
Mr. Chair, to the bill, or do you want to wait for comments or questions on the bill till after testifiers?
It'd probably be best if we could. Let's get the testifiers before, if we could.
My question on the list was regarding the amendment, and we covered most of that in the discussion we just had. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do have some comments on the bill as a whole, and I'll wait till after the testifiers. But okay. I do want to say something. I'm the only person who probably knows the history of the funding of gambling addiction. And the first funding, I don't know if there's been additional funding since then, but the first funding from gambling addiction came from the money that came from the lottery, and I don't know if your expansion in the last bill came from that. And when having a discussion of the basis behind this, it turned out that the lottery is, of all the forms of gambling that we have in the state, the lottery, by psychologists has said, is the least addicting of any ones that we have. People just go in and buy one and then they go away. So why did we fund it from the lottery? With the complete acceptance of the lottery director at the time, it's the Willie Sutton theory of legislating, which corresponds to the Willie Sutton theory of why, when asked why he robbed banks, he said that's where the money was. And we took it from the lottery because that's where the money was, and we had the acquiescence of the lottery director. So maybe as we put, so my problem, I'll say my one problem with the amendment was the last line, which said money appropriated must supplement and not must not replace. Because I think if we're adding more money into gambling addiction, we should we should certainly look at the whole question of how we of how we're funding gambling addiction, and we should really not look at just putting extra money in at that time. So that's just a historical note, not a comment.
Representative Kahn, thank you for that historical reminder for us. We have a number of folks who have wished to testify, and we're going to ask that each of the testifiers confine their comments to 2 minutes, because we've got an hour left, and we've got several other bills we have to deal with as well. So first is Jean Lindahl. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Gene Lindahl. I'm with the American Legion Post of Morristown, Minnesota. Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you for allowing me to be here to speak. I'd like to say that this bill will help us keep our doors open. I'm sure that if you people are familiar with Legion clubs across Minnesota, VFW clubs across Minnesota, fraternal organizations across Minnesota, the charity money has been dwindling, and we need income to keep the doors open. It's kind of a twofold thing. In our case, our funding has dropped to the point where a $300 donation is now a $100 donation. We donate things like to the Boy Scouts that we operate, our Girl Scouts, scholarship programs, senior programs, community programs, drug programs from the county, and so on. But I'd like to point out a second facet of our Legion Club. It's the center of our community. It's the center point in which they go to. We have senior dining on Wednesdays and Fridays where they come in and have a meal for about $3. I was in the other day. They had a roast beef, mashed potato, gravy dinner, probably paid $3 for them to eat it. It's a facility there. Our Boy Scouts use it on Wednesday night for beatings. The seniors use it on Tuesday night to play cards. It's more than just where do we go to have a social beverage at 5 o'clock. It's more than just a bar that's on the street. It's a facility in which everybody in the community can make use of for many things. And if we don't get the bill, we probably are looking at closing our doors down the road, and I'm sure it's happened across Minnesota to a lot of others, and it may continue to a lot more. And if you're in favor of this bill, I guess you're in favor of our seniors and our Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and all those programs. So I thank you for your yes votes.
Thank you, Mr. Lindahl. Next, Lori Glusing. And on deck, Sean Donahue. So if you're up next, please come prepared to come forward. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Lori Gleasing, the gambling manager for Klein Theater. Chairman and members, we support this bill, and we are asking you to as well. The original funding of charitable gaming, or the original approval of charitable gaming, was to fund, be a fundraiser for the charities to then pass the money on to other programs. And I'm sure if you understand some of the numbers that were on the fact sheet, some of what I'm going to tell you. One legislator called it graft. I call the taxes unconscionable, and they need to be changed. Klein Theater isn't tied to one community. We travel to every legislative district in the state. We perform and teach over 200,000 kids every year on issues like bullying and meth prevention, how to save the environment, higher education, that type of stuff. So we go to your communities and we help your communities. As the for-profit companies in Minnesota pay 9.8% in taxes after expenses. Klein Theater pays 34% in taxes before deducting expenses. We expect to pay taxes. We're not asking to not pay taxes. But it seems like there's a big discrepancy between for-profit and charity. And you'd think charity would be paying less than the for-profit. We actually paid the state 5 times more in taxes than we had to give to charity last year. over $500,000 we paid in taxes. And we need help. And we need help so that we can help your kids become better community members and citizens. This bill is proposing a method to increase sales, which then can then offset the deduction in the taxes we currently pay. Please support this bill. Let it move on to the tax committee where we know that there are issues and percents and net and gross and everything to iron out there. It is not an expansion of gambling. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here today. Next, Sean Donahue. On deck, Mary Perrin. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself. Members, could we keep the side conversations down so that everybody can hear the testifiers? Please,
good morning, Mr.
Identify yourself for the record.
My name is Sean Donahue. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here today to represent the Spring Lake Park Lions Club and other clubs in our area. We all have the same issues, and these taxes, they are very huge, and our club is in the same spot, Lori's, as we pay five times as much as we donate to local communities. I just want to go over a few people we donate to in our community. We have a Alexander House, which is a shelter for battered women in Anoka County. A Lee Carlson Center, they help families that fell on hard times lose a job, lose two jobs. We have Free to Be. They take donated cars and refurbish them and give them to families in need that are gainfully employed and need a way to work. We support two scholarship programs in our community, one at Spring Lake Park High School and Blaine High School. We have a Christmas basket program. We donate over 100 baskets every year to families in need in our community to tide them over during the Christmas season. We have an eyeglass program at the local school districts. And we also have a partnership with a local grocer for people to get them by if they lose a job or just need groceries for a week or so. King touched on this a little earlier also. We have, we're in the process of downsizing. We have lost 19 employees over the past couple years, and these people are still unemployed because some of these smaller sites, we just can't make a go of it. This bill will make those sites profitable again, and we could put these employees back to work. And I'll just leave you with one final note. This bill were enacted last year. Our club would have donated another $200,000 to these programs that we are cutting back on now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Donahue. Mary Perrin, and next is Victoria Winfrey.
My name is Mary Perrin. I'm the gambling manager for the Cottage Grove Athletic Association. We are an all-volunteer organization, and we've been doing this for 50 years in our community. We give the kids in our community athletic opportunities. We have seven different sports that we have. And in past years, our lawful purpose contributions, which is our what we donate our profits to, have gone for athletic equipment improvement to playing fields, batting cages. We've paid ice bills. And we work with the city and with the school district to help improve facilities for athletics. We have over 6,000 youth in our community. Now, our charitable gaming funds with the decrease wouldn't necessarily stop us from existing because we do have registration funds that we also work with, but what we've used our charitable gaming funds for is for the bigger projects that would be passed on to the parents and or might not even get done. We kind of fill in, and as you've seen The funds raised by charitable gaming really are the grassroots for the communities that these organizations are in. We kind of fill in those holes that don't make the city budgets or make the school budgets, where, and when kids are playing on a field and if the parking lot needs some work, or if this is where our money has gone. And in the past years, we've been involved in gambling for 19 years. We have had between $100,000 to $150,000 a year that we've been able to contribute. However, in 2008, we had $132,000 that we spent lawful purpose. 2009, it was $46,000. 2000, I'm sorry, my time is up. I just noticed that. Please, the tax reform is very important. One last thing is that this is my tax return for this coming month, for last month. And we deposited, our net proceeds were $19,000. My tax is $6,700, which is 36% of the amount of money, and that's before paying for expenses or anything off the top, 36%. Next year, next month, because we go to the next level in the taxing, I'll probably, and based on last year's figures, deposit $13,000, and we'll be paying another $6,000, and it'll equal 47% tax for next month. We need some help. Thank you,
Ms. Perrin. Mr. Wilson, would you please remove those devices so that we have a little better opportunity to view the testifiers? Thank you.
Put them in front of me.
Victoria Winfrey, yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
Welcome
Chairman.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Victoria Winfrey, president of the Prairie Island Indian Community Tribal Council. The Prairie Island Indian Community owns and operates Treasure Island Resort and Casino, which is located just north of Red Wing. We are the largest employer in Goodhue County, employing more than 1,700 tribal and non-tribal team members. Our community, like other tribes in Minnesota, is a strong supporter of Minnesota charities. While we continue to support charitable gambling, we do oppose the significant expansion of gaming proposed by House File 1485 with the addition of electronic linked bingo games and electronic pull tab devices. We're concerned that House File 1485 does not specify what type of electronic devices will be used, stationary cabinets or handheld devices. And even though House File 1485 restricts the use of the electronic devices to pull tabs and bingo games, the machines that would be used, whether handheld or standalone cabinets, can be easily converted to add other games like poker, blackjack, or keno. In fact, just last week, the South Dakota Lottery Commission approved new so-called lineup games for its video lottery terminals that more closely resemble video slot machine games. House File 1485 opens the same door to future expansion in Minnesota. How many electronic pool tab and bingo devices will there be in Minnesota if this bill is approved? What is a fair estimate? Currently, there are about 2,800 charitable gaming or gambling sites in Minnesota. The bill authorizes 6 or 12 of each of the devices per site, depending on the number of seats. If each of the 2,800 sites were to get 6 of the electronic pull tab devices and 6 of the electronic bingo devices, there will be 33,000 new gaming devices in Minnesota. This is a huge expansion of gaming. What about further expansion next year or the year after that, when additional revenues are needed? Maybe the number of licensed sites will increase to 3 or 4,000. Maybe the number of machines will be increased. For example, South Dakota, since video lottery machines were first licensed in 1990, the number of establishments offering video lottery has more than doubled, with nearly 4 times the number of video lottery terminals 20 years later. We're concerned that House File 1485 starts Minnesota down that same slippery slope. South Dakota's video lottery has changed the state's landscape dramatically. Add on mini casinos at convenience stores and restaurants now dot its main streets and highways. Is that what we want for Minnesota? Amendment A1 is a step in the right direction. Our concern is that the technology used for electronic bull tabs in bingo, the server-based infrastructure that could be used for either handheld or standalone cabinets, can be easily converted to other games like blackjack, poker, keno, even simulated slot machines. Our main concern would be that standalone machines would be used, whether from the start or by a later amendment of this legislation, since the server-based technology can be used for either handheld devices or standalone cabinets. In conclusion, while we oppose the bill in its current form, because we believe that it will lead to the further expansion of gaming in Minnesota, we also understand that this bill is a bit of work in progress. Frankly, that uncertainty is part of our overall concern with the bill, but we are willing to work with charitable organizations on this.
Thank you, Ms. Winfrey. I just wanted to clarify, you are aware of the A1 amendment that we added to the bill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that, and your comments are in light of that even still being a part of the bill. To this point, Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, I just wondering if you were having questions of the testifier, or you want to wait after?
Let's get through the testifiers, if we might, Representative Anderson,
Thank you.
Then we'll take questions from there. Next is Colin Meinhardt, and on deck, Tom Pritchard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Colin Meinhardt. I'm the owner and operator of the Main Street Bar and Grill in Alden, Minnesota, in beautiful Representative Murray's district over there. One unique thing about this bill, when you look at this thing, we're cutting taxes and creating jobs. This is a jobs bill. Here we are, and I'm in the bar-restaurant business. I've dealt with changes in .08 BAC, smoking bans. We keep constantly fighting taxes. In my industry, we're always under attack. What we're trying to do here is build patronage. We're moving into the new world here of the young people coming out that like Xboxes and PlayStations and electronics. We're trying to create patronage for bars, restaurants throughout the state of Minnesota, bringing young people, modernizing what's already out there. Last year, I think we had 250, 300 bars close across the state of Minnesota for various reasons. So that also translated to a loss of jobs. Within 1 mile of Representative Murray's district, we have Hungry Joe's Casino down in Iowa, which is hungry for Minnesota dollars. It'd be nice to be able to keep some of those dollars back in Minnesota. So I see this as a win-win for the charities and a win for the business community creating jobs in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meinhardt. Mr. Pritchard.
Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tom Pritchard, President of the Minnesota Family Council, and we want to rise in opposition to this bill. For a couple reasons. First of all, we have a concern that charitable gambling is really not very charitable. A recent report by the Gambling Control Board, an analysis that was reported in the Star Tribune, found that only 3% of the gross gambling revenues went to actual charities, which is kind of astonishing. When you think of charitable gambling, you think of all this money going to charity, but less, about 3%. The Hopkins JCs reported $4.2 million in gambling gross receipts, 574 net profits, 1,000 in net profits, and 359 in allowable expenses. Only $14,000 went to the charities. The Minneapolis River View Lions Club reported $1.4 million in gambling revenues, $326,000 in net profits, 242 in allowable expenses. $4,384 went to the charities. The American Legion and Savage reported $880,000 in gross revenues, $203,000 in net profits, $147,000 in various expenses, $113 went to the charities. So we're very concerned that the term charitable gambling is not very charitable. Secondly, we have concerns with the introduction of the electronic video component. Video gambling, and our concerns that this is in line with other video forms of gambling in terms of promoting more addictive forms of gambling, which will increase gambling but also increase addiction. And so we're concerned that two out of three addicted gamblers come into it through video gambling, and we're afraid, concerned that with these 1,300 sites, we're going to see an expansion of addiction and problems associated with gambling. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pritchard. That exhausts the list of people that have let us know that they wish to testify. Quickly, is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard on this bill? If not, members, I've got three names on the list here, and we've got one, two, three, four more bills to take today. If we're not able to get through, I'm going to have to bring you back tomorrow morning prior to session. So, Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of points. I'm not sure this is a job bill. I think when you add technology, you reduce people. I'm not sure of that. What I do want to say in talking with members who are supporting this, my problem with this bill is the tax reduction in light of a $5 billion deficit. And initially I was going to oppose this, but I'm hoping that issue will get vetted and discussed greatly in tax committee. And I understand why they want more money, but I also understand we have a responsibility to balance the budget here, and I'm not willing to let go of revenue that's already in statute. But having said that, Representative Creasel, I'm going to support your bill and at least get it moved on where the people who deal with taxes can talk about that.
Thank you.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I had a question for the witness who spoke just before Ms. Winfrey. I didn't get her name. The one who said that there...
Ms.
Mary
Perrin?
Perry. Yeah. Okay. Who had specifically said that from charitable gambling they were supporting seven sports teams, and I wanted to know what those seven sports teams were.
Ms. Perrin, please come back to the...
And then while she's coming up, I just want to echo what Representative Gauthier said. I believe in, I've been convinced that these electronic pull tabs are not an outrageous expansion of gambling, but I don't like the tax cut at a time when we don't need to do more tax cuts.
Ms. Perrin.
Yes, baseball, softball, hockey, basketball, football, and we are also adding girls volleyball.
Okay.
So I've missed one, but...
Okay, do you have boys
soccer.
And...
Soccer, our biggest program.
Do you have boys and girls ice hockey?
Oh, yes, definitely. My daughter played hockey.
Terrific. Okay, well, I wanted to know.
Representative Anderson. Thank you, Ms. Perrin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to ask the question of the testifiers about, or to the... Representative Creasel, is there a difference between playing solitaire with cards or playing solitaire on your computer? Much difference?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I don't believe that there is, no.
Thank you.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple questions, I think, to the fiscal note, and I'm not sure if it's for staff or... whom, but I noticed that we're actually adding 12 FTE, and I assume that that's not each year we're adding 12, we're adding 12, and then there's 12 forever. But I'm curious if we're not expanding the gaming operation and we're using electronic devices, that would be much more efficient, and I'm told one of the original selling points of this bill to me was that we would just be making our auditing that much more effective. So I'm curious why we actually have a net addition. I guess it's actually nine people in the Gambling Control Board. If somebody can explain why we're adding nine people.
Mr. Barrett.
Mr. Chair, members, yes. Tom Baird again, Gambling Control Board. To the point of the FTE, right now under current staffing, our licensing supervisor doubles as our internet tech person. We don't have any IS staff to speak of. with the advent of this opportunity for electronic monitoring, we're going to need to bring in a couple people, is what we had projected, that have some technical expertise related to the computerization, the tracking. The additional expectation is we're going to see a number of charitable organizations come back that weren't, that had gotten out at one time. We expect to see a number of bars get back into the business of charitable gaming. At one time, about 5-6 years ago, our complement, staff complement, was 37. Right now we're at 29. So what we're talking about is to try to maintain the regulation with the projected increase in sites. And yes, technology will save, we anticipate, charity some opportunity reporting. We're going to have opportunities to monitor like we've never had before in terms of what's happening at each site based on the sales, to get some reports, get some information back not only to you, but the charities themselves. It gives us a new opportunity that we don't have today. But to the sense that I bring the attention of the cost of what we project in the fiscal note, what was included today, it represents 3/100ths of 1% of the total projected revenue.
Representative Downey?
I appreciate we're trying to move along. And the idea that we would be making electronic the existing pull tabs and simply doing that and thereby inviting whatever small percent, 25% of the folks who got out of it because they couldn't sustain their operations without electronics. Anyway, it doesn't add up to me that we would be making ourselves that much more efficient for such a small slice of what you do and still need to add 9 people. And I just looked at the consolidated EBO comments in the fiscal note and talking about likely that new revenue will come in from the new electronic forms of gambling. And I'm just nervous that the presentation of this is simply a way to make more efficient and effective the current pull tabs, that this really is just opening up a huge opportunity for all kinds of new forms. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to understand where those numbers were coming from as I thought about that.
Okay. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is really exciting. This, you know, there's just, from the testimony, there's just all kinds of opportunity here. Unfortunately, I've only heard from one person that I think I can agree with in terms of the real impact will be to our state. Because absent in this testimony today was any conversation around the real impact, the social impact that this is going to have on families and the children who may get to play on a softball team. We have not accounted for the fathers who come home from these places and they've spent their entire paychecks on gambling. I only heard one testimony from a member at this table regarding having been a counselor and having an experience and dealing with the addictive behavior. But there's all kinds of opportunity. We can talk about jobs and more taxes. I get pretty passionate about it, and I'd have to say that this ranks right up there with pro-life for me in terms of trying to stick up for the folks that will really get stuck with this whole endeavor. And this is nothing less than a wholesale expansion of gambling. You know, one person got giddy, one of the testifiers got giddy excited about the fact that we're going to be roping an entirely new generation into gambling because of all the people that get excited about Xbox and PlayStation and the other devices that we use. I passed out a document. I want to just go over a couple of things. I don't want to belate this any longer. We have to, but when it comes to electronic gambling, and this is what it looks like. 30-50% of revenues derived from problem pathological gamblers, and those are heavily addicted to electronic machines. Next bullet down: slot machines, electronic gaming devices (EGDs) are the most addictive. Whereas the rest of the kinds of forms of gambling would take 3.5 years for a pathological gambler to get hooked on, electronic gaming it takes a year. I'm not going to go through this whole sheet, and you can look at the various categories of what the real social cost, and we've already had an economics lesson, so I'm not going to talk about the externalities of in the economics involved with this. But the fact is, folks, that on a conservative estimate, as a state, we're going to spend $3 for every dollar we earn on dealing with the impact of gambling in our communities. And I'm not pandering to this, to my friends on the left side of the spectrum, the political spectrum. But you know what? In television show on Sunday, your governor said it at issues, it's not a great idea to mix gambling and alcohol.
By the time they go with camp.
And you know, for the folks on the right, we have been campaigning for a year and a half that we don't need any more taxes, that we can live within our revenue. I'm probably going to get in trouble if I talk anymore. I'm going to leave it with this. I've been told that it's not politically expedient for me to ask for a roll call vote because I might embarrass some of the people that I cherish. So I'm not going to. Because as I thought about it last night, you know what was more important? That if the only way I can compel you to make the right decision is through a roll call, then it's still not the right decision. I teach an ethics, a business ethics class, albeit at a Christian college. And you know what I teach these folks? Integrity is something you have when you make the right decision when nobody is watching. Thank you.
Representative Hayden, and then we need to move to be able to take care of the rest of our business. Representative Hayden.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and that was a very passionate speech, Representative Benson. I think it brings us all pause to start thinking about what this really is and what it's going to do. And so I think I do have a question, but I think the way that I think about this is not necessarily taking the right for people away to make a decision, irrespective if it's going to hurt their family or hurt themselves, because I think people have that right, and I don't want, you know, the small little libertarian side of me still wants people to be able to make that choice. I think I don't like the idea of, as we expand gambling and we continue to use it as charitable gambling, is kind of where I have starting to have the problem, and I've talked to a lot of my friends about this issue. If it's gambling, let's call it gambling. And if it's gambling and then the folks that get the proceeds happen to, as they would normally do, give a few dollars to a girls' hockey team or a baseball, softball team or an arts organization, then I think that that's okay. But there's a bit of a bait and switch with me, and as I look at Representative Downey in terms of how he was pitched this bill about this issue of charitable gambling. If it's gambling, it's gambling, and people have to kind of figure that out. And the organizations, like the big casinos, they give away a lot of money as well. Harrah's and Caesar's Palace, and they give away a ton of money, and so, but they don't call themselves a charitable gambling organization. They're about getting their money, and they're hoping that the house will win, and that's what they're in it for. With that being said, I do have one small question. That's just a very technical question. As we move to a more electronic way of gambling, does the law change in terms of how we pay for it? Does it still have to be cash, or now are we moving to a point where you can use your credit card or debit card or point of sale transaction? And that might just be a really easy question for either the author or the folks from the gambling board.
Representative Kriesel, and I think maybe Mr. Barrett probably should also respond to that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hayden, as it stands now, there will still have to be a point of sale. Person goes up, gives the money. You can't stick it into the machine. You go up, deal with the person. They'll give you a PIN number. You go back to your machine and you type in the PIN number, and then your money's in there.
And Mr. just for clarification, it's cash, with the exception of raffles, that's cash or check.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm kind of disturbed by the fact that with electronic, the going to electronic gambling, that, as Representative Downey already mentioned, that we're going to add extra people into this whole situation to have to do that. I was hoping that there would be a lessening of the number of FTEs and I'm really kind of troubled by what I'm hearing. So it's kind of unfortunate the way this has turned out for me anyway. So. Just a comment.
Representative Kriesel, any final comments?
No, Mr. Chair. I just hope that I can get support for this, and I appreciate the time.
Members, I will renew the motion that House File 1485 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Tax Committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 No.
Opposed?
No.
No. Division.
Division has been
Division
has been requested. All those in favor, raise your hand. Those opposed? There being 12 in favor and 8 opposed, the motion is adopted. Thank you, Representative Kriesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
The next bill on the docket is House File 1633. Representative Norton.
They're probably right. Yeah, I mean, you know,
Welcome, Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, could you, folks in the audience, please be quiet as you leave so we can keep going with our business. Thank you. Representative Norton.
If I could have someone move the bill and the D1 amendment, please.
Representative Kahn, do you wish to move her bill?
Yes, I'll move it.
Okay. Representative Kahn moves House File 1633. And you have an amendment as well?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there's a DE1.
Representative Kahn, do you want to move that?
I'd like to see it.
Okay.
I vote
yes. Okay, thanks. Yep.
13 days.
You know, as a courtesy to the author, I'll move it, but I do have some problems with the bill.
Okay. Representative Kahn moves the DE1 amendment. Representative Norton, do you want to explain the amendment? And
sure. It's fairly self-explanatory. The bill and the amendment basically do the same thing. We are asking that the percent of lawful gambling the organizations have to give to the charitable organization of their choice is changed from 30% to 20%. That's what the amendment does as well. And I would prefer to have an expert give the presentation. We have someone from Rochester, Minnesota, the Flamingo Bingo organization. This particular bill affects 8 bingo parlors in the state of Minnesota, and I would like her to testify if that is okay with the chair.
Okay, it's on the whole bill.
If we'd move the amendment.
The amendment is moved, so we need to first adopt the amendment. Yeah. Yes. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I think we should adopt it to do the author the courtesy of putting the bill in the
Thank
form.
You.
So.
Okay, all in favor of adopting the DE1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. The amendment is adopted. Please identify yourself for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for the opportunity to talk with you today. My name is Deb Neusmelman. I'm the board president for a local charity in Rochester, Minnesota, by the name of the Rochester Senior Center. And I'm here today representing 8 bingo halls in the state of Minnesota. There's only 8 that remain. There used to be 17 at one time, but they have gone out of business due to various activities and various restrictions. I'm here to request the change that's been mentioned by Representative Norton, changing the lawful purpose expenditure from 30% to 20%, and it affects only these 8 bingo halls. In late 2009, after giving 27 years to the corporate world, I decided it was time, personally, to quit my job and dedicate my life to the nonprofit world in Rochester, Minnesota. I've been volunteering full-time for the Rochester Senior Center for the past year. It's a nonprofit that benefits over 5,000 seniors annually. I come to you today as a dedicated volunteer who really needs your help. Nonprofits in the state are really struggling to stay afloat. With changes in the economy, donations have declined, and aid from organizations like the United Way, federal, state, and local sources have also declined. Our nonprofit got involved in charitable gambling to give us an opportunity to consistently raise funds to support programs and reduce our dependency on governmental aid. The charity I represent runs a bingo hall in Rochester called Flamingo Bingo. It is a bingo hall and runs no other business from its premises. Its sole reason is to raise money for our charity. We follow the Minnesota state statute that is in discussion, which includes the requirements that we must meet to maintain our operation. If we don't meet those requirements, we could be fined immediately, put on probation, or have our license suspended. The statute requires that 30% of our gross receipts before expenses is given to the charity and pays our taxes. On the whole, I agree with having a requirement of this type in the statute. It is there to ensure that money gets to the charity. In the majority of the 8 remaining bingo halls in the state working to give money to the charity, this 30% has become unachievable, and I'd like to explain why. The 30% donation was designed around bar operations that run charitable gambling like pull tabs and bar bingo. Bar pull tab and bar bingo operations have very little overhead expenses like rent, utility, payroll. And in fact, bar bingo is not required to pay rent. Contrasted to the 8 bingo halls like Flamingo Bingo, Carousel Bingo, Bingo Emporium, and 5 others in the state, our sole operation is bingo. We must cover the full overhead of the facility, our payroll, maintenance, and such, putting us at a significant disadvantage in achieving that 30% mark compared to the bar operations. Please don't take my remarks the wrong way. I want so much more money to go to the charity, so much more that I have made it my life's work over the past 9 months to make sure that we get every dime out of our operation to the charity. We have reevaluated and reduced every expense in our business. We can no longer afford to pay a manager for the operation, so I have volunteered over 2,700 hours in the last year to getting the job done there. Our staff has had to take pay cuts. We reduced our price payouts. We've negotiated an unbelievable $3.96 per square foot lease rate on the building that we occupy with our landlord. If there was any ounce of savings that we could pull out of the business to get to the charity, we've done it. And as a result, we anticipate we will give $70,000 to the charity this year while at the same time paying $53,475 in taxes. Yet, with these two numbers, over $123,000, we will still fall short of the 30% mark. And we are in jeopardy of being fined or worse yet closed. Again, our bingo hall is not alone in our inability to meet this 30% mark. It is a problem that the majority of the halls represent. Bingo Emporium out of St. Cloud anticipates $170,000 will be given to the charities that they work for while paying $80,000 in taxes, and they too will fall short of this 30% mark. We're all working very, very hard to get money to the charity, reduce our expenses, and reduce our dependence on governmental aid. $70,000 to our charity is a big deal, and it could do a lot of good for the people in our community. By reducing this 30% lawful purpose expenditure to 20% for these 8 bingo halls, we can continue to do the good work for the charities without the risk of additional fines. As a committed volunteer, I ask for your support and thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nussbaum. Just to clarify, are there 8 of these such facilities statewide? Is that the number?
That's correct.
And they're located around the whole state?
There's 6 in the Twin Cities area, 1 in Rochester and 1 in St. Cloud.
Okay, thank you. Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions for maybe the author or staff or the testifier even. So I'm not real familiar with this business model or financial reporting model that you're dealing with. But gross profits, I'm just looking at the overriding language here. What is removed from the total revenue that you receive to arrive at your gross profit number? Is there some other kind of daily costs or something that you take out before you determine your gross profit?
Gross profits is all the sale. I apologize.
Yeah, we asked the testifiers to go through the chair, so.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you may proceed.
Thank you. Gross profits is all sales that come in minus the prices that are paid. It does not include any expenditures yet, so it's before all the expenses to run the business.
Representative Downey.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And so what percentage of the total take do you issue in prizes?
Between 65 and 70%.
Representative Downey.
Mr. Chair, I'm just doing a little rough math here. So 65 to 75, so that means 25 to 35% of the total take then, or the total dollars expended by people at these events, actually goes to the charity. And then we're saying that and then we use this 20% off of that. So we're really talking 20% of 25 to 35%. And I'm getting down to some numbers here that, I mean, from a charitable standpoint, if you think about any nonprofit, I mean, don't you want them up in the 80 to 90% of your money actually going to the purposes that you intended? And I think the best nonprofits are way up in the 90s, and they don't spend even 10% of their overall take, if you will, on marketing and operating expenses and staff and the like. And I think based on that, I'm going to vote against this bill. And I think we got, I'm just thinking back to some of the testifiers on the previous bill, you know, talking about how their VFW is the center of the community, and yet it won't survive unless you can offer electronic gaming. That doesn't sound like the center of a community. That sounds a little more like Representative Hayden was saying, let's be honest here and realize this is a gaming operation. And wow, I just can't imagine that I would go into a place and spend my money thinking that it's actually going to the charity, not knowing that barely even 15% actually gets there. Anyway, it's just an observation. I'm going to vote no on the bill just because this is the first time I'm having my eyes open to this, and I think we got an issue here with terminology and assumptions about charitable on the front end of the gaming operations here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have two really quick questions, and I'm sorry, I had to step out. Is this bill going to taxes?
No.
No.
Representative Norton, your expectation is that it
would
go to the floor?
There is no tax implication. The only change we're asking for is what goes to the charitable organization. It doesn't impact taxes at all. So as I understand, this goes to the floor.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Just a second, Representative Gauthier. Representative Kahn, it's your
again
motion.
Well, again, to give a you know, one of the problems I have with this bill is its combination with the previous bill, which is then going to give us electronic. The previous bill has the ability to give electronic.
Bingo.
It's bingo and pull tabs. And let me again add another historical note. There are very few really positive things that I've done in the legislative process over the years, but one of the things I would like to point out was the following on Representative Downing says, if you look at the law, we no longer have the word charitable gambling in law. It is referred to as lawful gambling. And I specific, and so maybe we ought to get that into our conversation too, and I was specifically responsible for changing that term following your the points that you've just made. So we should just incorporate that into our vocabulary at this point.
Mr. Chair? So.
Representative Kahn, are you feeling that this should go to the floor?
Well, the problem is I think it ought to go along with the, I agree that there's no tax implication, but there is, there kind of is, just look at it, significantly reduces charitable gambling. No, I'm sorry, the other one. I really think it has to be considered along with the other bill. Because whereas this bill, if this were to pass by itself, just makes so-called charitable, really lawful gambling less charitable, if the other bill passes, it has a tremendous effect. So I do think the bills need to be considered together. And I think taxes, if they decide that, I just think they have to, and taxes is the only place I see where they can be considered together. So I guess I change my motion to go to taxes instead of to the floor.
Okay. Representative Kahn is saying that the bill should go to taxes.
Emphasizing that the only reason is because that's where the other bill is going and they need to be considered together.
Representative Norton.
Mr. Chair, I think there are several comments have been made, and my testifier has yet to be able to address some of those, as well as Mr. King would like to come down as well.
Ms. Nussbaum?
I just wanted to clarify, out of the money that we raise
There was a question about the definition of gross profit. And after prizes are paid, there's approximately 35% left to pay all of our bills with respect to our payroll, our building, our facility, our maintenance, and so forth, and our lawful purpose. I don't want to leave the impression that we're not giving every dime we make to the charity. We absolutely are. And so we are really asking for an opportunity to continue to do that. If we don't make the 30% mark, we will be fined, and we can, in fact, stand the risk of being closed. And as I mentioned earlier, there used to be 17 of these halls, and 9 of them have closed. This is not a change that is affecting the $1 billion in the state of Minnesota. This affects eight locations that are running bingo exclusively in their facility.
Mr. Chair, I believe I have the floor.
Thank you, Representative Gauthier. I still have you on the list. We haven't crossed you off yet. I was responding to Representative Norton, who wanted to have her testify.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to remind you. In these bingo halls, is alcohol served? Because I don't know anything about them, and I just want to know if there's alcohol served, because I have some concerns about that.
Ms. Nussbaum?
In some, there are. In some, they have a license for 3-2 alcohol. Okay. In others, they do not.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wilson, did you wish to respond to the questions that have been raised here?
Mr. Chair, committee members, again, King Wilson, Executive Director of Allied Charities. I think Deb laid the problem out. This is really a niche market. Actually, at one time, there were closer to 30 bingo halls, and it's a tough business. Those that have remained are doing everything they can, and they just have different levels of expenses because of the rent. It's much more labor-intensive than if you're in a bar or at the VFW or Legion, and it just is a fact that if they don't see some changes, that they will not be able to survive. I know we have this threshold, the 30%. Of the eight, I believe five of them last year, they all met it, I think, but most of them had to dip into reserves to get to that point. And in doing so, they just don't have a very long life. To the point of the two bills traveling together, it is my belief that if Representative Creasel's bills would become law, I think that would alleviate a lot of the problems. That being said, at this point, I can tell you if Representative Creasel's bill does not move along and get into law, if this provision is not enacted, it'll be a short time before we will be down to eight lawful gambling bingo halls. But Allied Charities, we've worked with these folks, and we do stand behind what they're attempting to do, because those that are left are valuable parts of their community. You know, the bingo people, many of you know, bingo players are fanatical, is a polite term to say it, and when they really like what they're doing, and they want to continue to do that, it's just a completely different environment than the rest of the 2,800 sites. So we have eight sites that really do need the help. I would like to address one other thing, and on Mr. Pritchard earlier, and the percent that goes to the bottom line, charitable gambling, lawful gambling, I stand corrected, Representative Kahn, lawful gambling is a different type of a fundraising activity, and we sometimes forget the prizes. There are not other fundraising activities that have. In Minnesota, one of the reasons we're in the top two in the country is we pay back 80% in prizes on average, 80-81. It's one of the higher ones in the country, and you need to be fair to your players. The higher the percent, actually, we can end up drawing that. And it just, if you look at that, then look at where the taxes are. Again, it was reiterated earlier that, when you look at the percentages, again, charities paying on taxes close to, on average, a 40% after expenses. What other business in the state would do that? We have some pretty amazing burdens on us. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Wilson, or the testifier, the author. You mentioned that there was 17, and Mr. Wilson, you said possibly 30 bingo parlors that have been in operation in the past. What's happened in those communities where those have
gone away or been shut down? What's taken place as far as the community?
Mr.
Wilson,
Representative Anderson, those players have had to go elsewhere, travel to other those that remain because there are a number of them in the metro area. They just there's been a shift away from the local community. I think the player level is still there, but it's not as easy. Also, I think there has been some increase in the bar bingo. That's a very different type of bingo than goes to the bingo hall. The bingo hall is an incredibly social activity, and I think when halls close down, I think there's just kind of been a void in many areas. When there were others outstate, and they just don't have them anymore, and that I think it's those players really miss that.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard relative to this bill, either for or against? If not, Representative Kahn renews the motion that House File 1633 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to taxes. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
I guess we better show hands again. Those in favor. Those opposed? There being 10 votes in favor and 6 opposed, the bill is passed and moves to taxes. Thank you. Representative Norton.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm a little confused about what just happened. Was that your vote on the bill or vote on her amendment to send it back?
No, that's the vote on the bill.
Oh, well, Mr. Chair, I guess I will accept that. I'd hope to make some closing comments, but we'll take it to taxes, I guess.
We, Representative Norton, we adopted the amendment earlier. We voted on the amendment earlier. And so this was the final vote on the bill itself.
And Mr. Chair, thank you. I was saying I just had hoped to make closing comments before your final vote. I was not understanding that, so it's fine. We'll take care of the rest of it in taxes.
Well,
thank you.
Representative Norton, we've got 5 minutes and 2 more bills. Members, if you're amenable, I think we could handle these next two things quickly. If you want some discussion, we're going to have to come back at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So, Representative Downey, on House File 418, this is a bill that we previously heard and laid over, and now we are proposing that this be passed on to Ways and Means. So, Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're dealing with 418 first.
Pardon me? 418, yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that we heard in State Government Ops and here had extensive discussion on it. We chose not to include it in our State Government Finance Omnibus Bill. The fiscal note precluded that. The reason we're kind of reintroducing it here and asking that it move on as a standalone is that we have been making good progress, I think, with the CIO on the fiscal note related to the OET consolidation. It is entirely possible that if we could make good progress there and similar good progress on this, we could actually reduce the total fiscal cost in our omnibus finance bill and have a chance at perhaps putting this into the mix as well as we get down to the end of session. So that's the proposal and the reason for reintroducing it and moving it onto Ways and Means.
Representative Kahn.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, as someone who's been working on the OET consolidation, I kind of agree with what Representative Downey has said. Again, I think that this bill has to be looked at in along with that bill, and maybe even if that bill ends up going separately, this bill could end up being a vehicle for that. If we're tied, you know, if the governor said he's willing to do a Viking stadium before a budget bill, maybe he'll be willing to do something as jazzy as OET consolidation before a budget bill. I mean, what could be more exciting than a Con Downey collaboration? So,
very few things.
That would be historical. Okay, Representative Downey, you're moving then that this bill be recommended to pass and be re-referred to Ways and Means.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Any further discussion on that? Representative Slawick.
Mr. Chair, I was telling someone about our conversation about how we refer all these bills to Ways and Means and how Ways and Means says it should be referred, it should be resolved in the finance committees. Can you clarify that for me?
I'm not sure I'm following your question, Representative Slawick.
Well, we've been having a debate about whether if there's money attached to a bill, if it has to be within the budget of the finance mm-hmm. committee, or if it has to, if we go up to Ways and Means, there really isn't a budget for Ways and Means. And so another member was telling me we had decided, maybe even Representative Kahn knows, that we're supposed to resolve those issues in the committee itself.
Well, this is
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, this is kind of much more of a bill that depends on what we're going to do with reorganization of government. I assume it did go through GovOps, but unless we end up taking the whole OET consolidation bill back into this committee, which is already passed out, you know, to conference committee, I think a useful thing to do would be to pass this bill on and either have that stuff come back to it's all these things have all been heard, right, and have the OET consolidation put into it at some point if that's the direction we wish to go, or else having this bill going on to that conference committee or something like that to deal with it. But I think you can't deal with this as a standalone bill, really. It has to be done in the terms of OET consolidation. And so I'm, you know, there are a lot of things that have been going on here that I don't really like, but this is one of them that would help put some order into something that we think we need to do. So,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Slawick,
if we're early in the session, Mr. Chairman, if we're early in the session, I would suggest that we really deal with it here with the OET consolidation or in government operations with the OET consolidation, but obviously on this day at this time, that's not a possibility.
Representative Slawick, what I was going to say in addition is we did not book anything in our omnibus bill relative to this back office. And so we're not relying on that to balance our state government finance omnibus bill. But there is the potential here, as it goes through Ways and Means, if they can come to some understanding and agreement with OET and the administration, that there may be an ability to, there may be some costs, there may be some savings. That will have to get sorted out.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'll let it go. It's just that we're coming down the last 3 weeks. We're trying to resolve our budget. We keep spending money. I'm just trying to figure out where we're getting the money from.
Fair question. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the motion that House File 418 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to Ways and Means, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Representative Downey for 545.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You have some new language that you're recommending.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I believe this was laid over. So we're pulling it back before the committee, and I would offer the A4 amendment, which I hope satisfies some of the discussion we had yesterday, trying to make sure that terminology doesn't create more heat than light. You will note that in both the title of the bill and also in the subdivision heading, we've replaced the word insolvency with funding, which we had talked about. There was some discussion in committee about also changing the words on line 1.10. I chose not to change that, and for a really substantive reason. You don't do contingency planning and risk management strategizing for everyday, I'll say, increments or decrements in some kind of funding. You really only do it for disasters and significant events. And so there, I think the words government insolvency or dramatically reduced federal payments are appropriate. We don't want contingency plans being created for every possible very small incremental change. It's only for really big catastrophic events. So I've left it as is there, where we actually specify in what circumstances you would actually propose doing a contingency plan.
Okay, members, we have the number on that amendment again, Representative
A4.
A4 amendment. Okay. All in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. That is adopted. And then your motion, Representative Downey, would be?
Well, Mr. Chair, my preference would be to move the bill for passage and re-referral to the General Register.
Representative Slawick.
There seems to be an error in the amendment, and it refers to a page 2. And so I wanted to catch that before you took the vote,
Thank
but
you.
I don't understand.
Thank you, Representative Slawick. Yeah. Yes, Mr. Shepard, do you want to speak to that?
Mr. Chair and members, that was a typo on my part. On page 1, line 3 of the amendment should refer to page 1.
Line 8.
My error.
Do we need to act on that, or can we allow?
You can incorporate it.
Incorporate?
Mr. Chair, I'll incorporate that change in my amendment and in the bill.
Okay.
Make that procedure.
Representative Kahn?
Well, you know, it does go a little bit along the right way. I wish you'd take out the 1 and 110 because, as I understand it, and maybe Mr. Shepard can help me here, none of these things appear in the statutes. None of these titles appear. So all the changes that you're making are just in the bill and not in the statute. Maybe the second one, I don't think any of that stuff makes it into the statute if this becomes law. Is that, would somebody help me and say if that's correct or just one of the things I'm wrong on?
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, the title of the bill on line 3 would not appear in the statute. The head note on line 8 would appear in the statute books. It would read federal funding. It's not technically part of the law, but it would appear, it would be published in the statutes.
Okay. Well, I would still prefer to see it because if there is federal government, if there's a lack of federal government funding, I guess I would like to just have the language be dramatically reduced federal payments, because that's clearly, whether it's federal insolvency or the Fed's becoming terribly financially responsible, you know, it still ends up being the same problem that we have. So let me try and move that, Mr. Chairman.
Well, okay. Representative Kahn, I think if we're going to have more discussion here, we need to lay this over. So we'll lay this over. We'll have to come back at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to finish up that business. And let's take one final action. That is the minutes from yesterday. Would someone move those?
I would move those, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Murray moves the minutes from yesterday. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes are approved. 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Mr. Chairman, if Representative Downey would agree to take that language out, we could just move it on to the next step, and we wouldn't have to be back at 8. If he would agree to take out the second, the insolvency in 110, then we could just move on. Perfect. I don't want to take all the blame for this. I'm talking about addictive behavior. The reason I'm so crabby today is that my addictive behavior was not met because I didn't have time for my morning run. So you have to remember there's all kinds of addictive behavior.
Representative Downey.
Mr. Chair, I guess my preference would be to leave the language as is, and we can have that kind of, I think it'd be important to have that kind of discussion on the House floor.
Okay. Well, we're going to lay this over. We'll have to come back at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And meeting adjourned.